Last week, we concluded by saying that to rebuild our freedom, we have to rebuild ourselves from the building block thoughts on up, while recovering our communal nature, our knowledge of ourselves as Earth in the process. So what are these building block thoughts? We've discussed in past shows some key ones: insider, outsider, or citizen, barbarian. Labor is our inevitable lot, we're told. Human beings are inherently violent, they keep wanting us to believe. There's also the notion that our worth must be established, proven by what price you can command in the marketplace. You could call this the notion of original sin, maybe, which is closely tied to merit rises, the productivity myth, and then progress. Of course, progress. In some ways, that's the key nut to crack. In some ways, it's there, hidden under everything else. In Inequality and Instability, and I'm reading from page 47, 48, James Galbraith talks about his roots in economics, Kuznets. Quote from James Galbraith: in his 1955 presidential address to the American Economic Association, Simon Kuznets offered a simple, elegant argument relating inequality to the process of industrialization. Before industry, say in late feudal Great Britain or the early northern United States, agriculture consisted largely of small freeholds, tenantry, and family farms. Income from work was limited by the natural scope of family labor and the talents and efforts of the village craftsmen. Factories and city life introduced division of labor, leading to higher living standards for a rising urban working class. And I'm quoting James Galbraith here, who is summarizing the Simon Kuznets argument, which was his argument to relate inequality to the process of industrialization, that there is this natural process, he's claiming, Kuznets. And Galbraith is summarizing this. Factories, and this is Galbraith, factories and city life introduced division of labor, leading to higher living standards for a rising urban working class, including factory workers and eventually professionals, engineers, machinists. Since this group enjoyed more income than their country cousins, economic inequality rose. Later on, continues Galbraith, migration and ultimately the industrialization of agriculture displaced the farmers from their land. As the agricultural population declined in proportion to the total, so too did the significance of the urban-rural income gap. Therefore, inequality would decline as incomes continued to rise, simply because the population transitioned from being primarily rural to primarily urban. Cities, with all their economic diversity, are naturally more unequal than the countryside, so matters would not again return to an egalitarian starting point. But Kuznets did expect that as industrialization matured, unionization and social democracy would reduce the initially high inequalities of the townsfolk, so that overall inequality would continue to decline as industrial development deepened. And then Galbraith says what Kuznets meant. Quote, and this is all one quote from Galbraith: the basic mechanism of Kuznets' argument was thus the transition from country to town and from farm to factory as average incomes rose. The consequence was a definite relationship between inequality and income. Inequality would first increase and later decline as cities swallowed the rural population. This was the inverted U that later economists would call the Kuznets curve, unquote, from James Galbraith's Inequality and Instability, a study of the world economy just before the Great Crisis. And so he's looking at the period from 1980 to about 2007. Now, what we've been arguing in recent shows is that, and this is our debt to Bentham, although we knew it before that, but knowing that power teaches us to their youngins and that it gets perpetuated on and on, strengthens the case that there is an organized group of folks pushing their agenda. So I'm grateful for Bentham for putting it out there clearly, because these folks tend not to be so straightforward. Because what's key, we've been arguing, for power maintaining its rule is secrecy, keeping us duped so that we're not even aware is their hope that we're being ruled. That's the sweetest way to keep the people under control, that we don't even know it is their hope. Now, what Bentham showed us is that if you can control the definitions, you can control the story. And if you control the story, you control us. And here in this book by Galbraith, we learn that the story economists are taught, and so tell themselves, is essentially that inequality is built into the mental manual divide, which they tell themselves and us is natural and so inevitable, quote unquote. Of course, Bentham and Townsend knew better and told it like it is, right? They said, you got to keep the people on a very tight leash. If you got them by the short hairs, you can make them do whatever you want. It's about power, pure and simple. They had no illusions that we could be easily conquered or that we weren't all powerful. I mean, that was the point of focusing so much on how to control us, is they knew that we didn't want to be ruled, and that there is no inherent inequality in terms In our sense, there is no distinction between mental and manual labor. That's a false division. And labor is an empty category given to us by power. We need a new language, pure and simple.